The story of the coming of the wise men, the Magi that Betty Jane shared with us, it's one of the most mysterious stories in all of Scripture. It has inspired books, theatrical productions, carvings, statues, operas, mosaics, legends, traditions, and art. The adoration of the Magi is one of the great themes in European religious art. One of O. Henry's greatest works is The Gift of the Magi. We cannot celebrate Christmas. We cannot have a nativity, a creche, or a Christmas pageant without the wise men. And Andrew, I was thinking about your dad, and if you remember these wonderful productions that Gene Davis had down at the Civic Center for years, when we added a Christmas pageant, Ed Ward was always one of the wise men. You remember that? And you know, Beth, I think Linwood was one of the, I forget who the third guy was, but I know that Ed Ward and Linwood Bunce were two of the wise men. But then there's the music. We three kings of Orient are. But do you realize that one of the best musical compositions on the Magi, although it's not that well known, comes not from Mendelssohn or Bach or Charles Wesley or Fanny Crosby or John Rutter or Dan Forrest, but James Taylor. You want to hear a little James Taylor to start out the new year? I mean, it is a new year. What a better way to start? Richard, how about let's hear part of that song? James Taylor, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Home by Another Way. James Taylor, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, Richard worked all night on this thing. I know we got it. Here it is.
Those magic men, the Magi, some people call them wise, or Oriental, even kings. Well, anyway, those guys, they visited with Jesus. They sure enjoyed their stay. Then, warning the dream of King Herod's scheme, they went home by another way. Yes, they went home by another way. Home by another way. Maybe me and you can be wise guys too. Go home by another way. We can make it another way. Safe home, as I used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high and go home another way.
Isn't that great? By the way, I sent Wes a text yesterday. I said, I found this perfect anthem to go with the sermon. It's by this guy named James Taylor. I'd like to have been a fly on the wall when you read it. I said, do what? But it's a great song. I want you to listen to the words. Those magic men, the Magi, some people call them wise or Oriental, even kings. Well, anyway, those guys, they visited with Jesus. They sure enjoyed their stay. Then, warned in a dream of King Herod's scheme, they went home by another way. Yes, they went home by another way. Home by another way. Maybe me and you can be wise guys too and go home another way. We can make it another way. Safe home, as they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high and go home by another way. This past summer, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing. It was back in September of 1962 when President John F. Kennedy challenged NASA and the nation to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. Although, Will, he didn't say decade. Decade. Well, when Neil Armstrong, 7 years later, took one small step for man, you know the rest, one giant leap for mankind, it was considered to be one of the greatest engineering and scientific accomplishments in human history. This coming April, we're going to celebrate another 50th anniversary of another lunar mission, Apollo 13. Only this mission didn't go as planned. If NASA was about anything, it was about planning and procedure and protocol. In fact, when the Apollo 11 astronauts returned from the moon, in one of the press conferences, someone asked them, "Could you tell us what your innermost feelings were when you were on the moon?" One of the astronauts replied that they didn't have much time for feelings because they were too busy with checklists and procedures and protocol. But 55 hours and 55 minutes into the Apollo 13 mission, there was an explosion that rocked the spacecraft that was headed to the moon, and suddenly all of the plans, all of the checklists, all of the procedures had to be abandoned. NASA had to find another way home. The safe return of Apollo 13 was one of the most amazing collaborative rescue efforts in history. In fact, it may have been a greater accomplishment than putting men on the moon, because rather than having 7 years to get ready, NASA only had a few hours. They had to quickly find another way home. And if you have seen that movie, and I took a survey among the youth, Ethan is the only one who's seen Apollo 13. We need to have a party one night and let you see Apollo 13. It is a great movie. Opie is the director. You all know that's one of Ron Howard's best movies. And it captures the intensity and the drama and the challenge. You remember how the lunar module that was designed to send 10 men to the moon suddenly became a rescue vehicle in which there had to be 3 men. And then they discovered that the canisters that removed the carbon dioxide didn't fit the system in the lunar module. And in one of the most dramatic scenes in the movie, you have all of these engineers who get together, and they have cardboard and plastic bags and, of course, duct tape. I mean, you can't live without duct tape. And suddenly, they devised this canister that saved the lives of the astronauts. And then they realized that the course Apollo 13 was on was taking it thousands and thousands of miles away from the Earth into deep outer space. And so they had to find another way. They used the gravity of the moon. They used the moon like a slingshot. But then they had to define precisely that route so they would get back to Earth. And the lunar module, the rocket was designed to land on the moon and take off from the moon, but suddenly they used that to adjust their course. They found another way. And when the navigation system failed, they found another way by navigating with a star. They found the biggest and the brightest star in the sky, the one that we call the sun. Calculations that they said would have taken engineers on the ground months to determine were determined by the astronauts in a few minutes. And as it turned out, they were less than 1 degree off course. And on April the 17th, 1970, when Apollo 13 landed safely in the Pacific Ocean, these men were safely home because they had found another way. The year 2020 marks a big anniversary for me. I realized that it was 50 years ago in the year 1970 that I preached my first sermon. When I realized that, you know how it made me feel. But yeah, it was 50 years ago. As I look back over 50 years, if there's one thing that I have learned, it's simply this. Just when I thought that I had all the answers, just when I thought that I had the right plan, the right procedure, would follow the right protocol, was the minute that I discovered that God had another way. In fact, the biggest mistakes that I have made in my ministry, and I have made many over 50 years, usually have taken place when I have not been open to another way. When I felt like I knew exactly what we need to do, I know how we need to do it, and I was not open to another way. In fact, when I preached that sermon 50 years ago, it would have never happened if we didn't have one man who had been given a second chance at life and decided to use that second chance in another way. He started working with young people. It was this man, when we were planning for our Youth Sunday, who proposed another way. You see, Youth Sunday was always a big, big deal in my church growing up. In fact, we need to plan us a Youth Sunday, don't we? When we watch Apollo 13, that's what we're going to do. But we used to invite these big celebrities to come in. I know we had Miss Alabama to come one year and speak, and we'd always get famous athletes like Dave Colescott. We'd get people like that, you know, to come and speak for Youth Sunday. Dave, sorry, brother, we didn't even know any basketball celebrities back then because this was Alabama, and it was before Charles Barkley. But we did have Steve Sloan one year. He was the quarterback at the University of Alabama that followed Joe Namath. Joe Namath never spoke at Youth Sunday. Just want to make that clear. But Steve Sloan was a great Christian, and he came and spoke at our Youth Sunday. I'll never forget that. We were sitting around and they were talking about the celebrities that we could invite, and it was the man who had been given a second chance who said, I think we need to consider another way. I think we need to have one of our youth to speak. If it had not been for that, I never would have preached that first sermon 50 years ago. Don't know that it would have ever happened. You see, in the church, one of the hardest things for us to do is to be open to another way. We've been talking about the nine lessons and carols, about how wonderful it was. When I first came here, Al Martin, of course, many of you remember Al so well, our beloved minister of music, Al was the one who started the nine lessons and carols. And if Al Martin was about anything, it was about planning and procedure and protocol. When I first came here, Al told me that I was in charge of the readers. I discovered very quickly that Al was still in charge of the readers. Because if any of you remember reading when Al directed about the procedure, the protocol, we had a certain place we had to gather, we had to meet in my office, we had a certain way that we had to come into the sanctuary. And Al insisted that we read out of this big Bible, the old pulpit Bible. And he had it to find your place. There was an 8.5 piece of paper that would have like lesson one. All the odd numbers were at the top, all the even numbers were at the bottom. And you had to come and then turn to your place and read St. John unfolds the great mystery of the incarnation, a reading from the first chapter of John. And then you'd take your piece of paper, you'd put it here in the pulpit, and then you would read and you'd leave the Bible exactly as it was. And then the next person would come. We had an established protocol and we had established scripture. It wasn't until years later after Al left that one day I found a recording of the 9 lessons and carols from King's College in Cambridge. And I was listening to this recording and lo and behold, they were using different scriptures. And I said, if King's College can change the scripture, so can First Baptist Lexington. So Wes, I know you're always conscious of tradition and procedure and protocol. So Wes comes to me and he says, you know, I have this wonderful anthem. I want to use this anthem, but can we use it? I said, brother, you find the music, I'll find the scripture. We decided to do it another way, and what do you think about the results? It was fantastic. We have to be open to another way. I'm going to make a prediction. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to make a prediction. I believe that the year 2020 can be one of the greatest years of ministry in the life of First Baptist Church, provided we are open to another way. Just because we don't have a large staff doesn't mean we can't engage in wonderful ministry. Look at our youth ministry, look at Faith Factory, look at Touching Davidson County with Love. We don't have to have staff to do all of that. Just because we don't have the financial resources that we used to have doesn't mean that we cannot accomplish great things. And speaking of financial resources, I don't know how many of you saw this in FBC Friends, but about 6 weeks ago, we were very concerned about whether we would have enough money coming into the budget to meet our commitments, to meet our mission commitments, to pay our bills. We knew that we always have a $25,000 provision that we can withdraw that from endowment. But even $25,000 would not have been nearly enough. But perhaps you saw the news that we had a remarkable December, thanks to you. And every single bill has been paid. Our mission commitments have been met 100%. And we ended 2020 in the black without having to take one dime out of our endowment. And we should celebrate. You knew this was coming, but I think there's another way. While we are so thankful for what happened in 2020, what has happened in our church and so many churches is that we depend on a small percentage of our congregation to provide the majority of the financial resources. I want you to know that I never know what an individual gives. I don't want to know. I don't feel like I should know. But I do know that we have a number of people who are active in our church who never give anything financially. I think it's time for us to consider another way, a way that we can involve everyone in our congregation. So we won't have to wait until the 31st of December and hope somebody will write a check. So that we won't have to wait to see how much money we need to take out of our endowment. In fact, Dr. Bob Cole and I are meeting in the morning, Bob. And on Wednesday night, we're going to share with you some ideas. Some ways that we can involve our entire church in making a difference in our budget and building our budget for the future. Just a couple of examples. And we did this a few years ago. I know people give different ways. We have people in our church who I understand, will only give maybe twice a year or even once a year. We have people, their financial contribution will come through a financial group like Edward Jones. We have those who give online. We have those who give monthly. We have those who give weekly. But let me ask you to do something. What if every Sunday, every person in the congregation would put something in the offering plate? I mean, even if it's a dollar or $5 or 50 cents, what would that symbolize? It would symbolize that all of us are a part of this. All of us are involved in helping to meet our budget. If we did this, and if we averaged $200 a Sunday, that would total $10,000 by the end of the year. I have another idea. I don't know about you, but I still like to write checks. In fact, on Christmas Eve, true story, it's Christmas Eve, and Ray Nance and I are going around doing some shopping, and we go into Conrad and Hinkle. And before we walk in the door, I said, wait, let me get my checkbook. And Ray Nance said, do what? I said, you're going to write a check? Why are you going to do that? And I said, because I can. Because that is the one place I can go and I can write a check and they don't ask for my license, they don't ask for my telephone number, they simply say thank you and they hand me my groceries. Sometimes I like to be old school. And Ray Nance said, Dad, you know they have another way. Well, we have another way. We have online giving. I don't do online giving, but I want to challenge all of you that are able to get on the computer and figure this out. What if everybody went on and you made arrangements that once a month, that $10 would be taken out of your account and sent to the church? That's in addition to what you're normally going to give, $10. You know what that would be at the end of the year? That'd be $18,000 if 150 people did that. You see, it doesn't take much, but working together, we can make a difference if we're open to possibilities, if we're willing to do things another way. Because I think we realize that sometimes another way is often God's way. And we need to be open to God's way, because there's always a King Herod out there. There's always the potential for somebody who's evil and dark, who is involved in violence and terrorism. You know, I want you to think about this. Matthew's gospel is considered to be the most Jewish of all gospels. The book opens with a long genealogy establishing Jesus as the son of David and the son of Abraham. There are more references to the fulfillment of Jewish prophecy in the gospel of Matthew than any other gospel. Have you considered the fact the first people in Matthew's gospel who come to worship Jesus are not rabbis, they're not prophets, they are Persian priests. They come from a different land, a different culture, a different language, a different religion. What is this saying to us? The Church of the Nativity, which is the oldest church in the Holy Land, many of you have had the privilege of being there. It was built by the Emperor Justinian in 540 AD. In 614 AD, Persians invaded the Holy Land and destroyed every single one of the Christian holy sites, with the exception of the Church of the Nativity. And they said when they walked in the door, they saw a beautiful mosaic of the Magi. And they said, they look like us, and they spared the church. Events of these past few days have escalated tensions, not only in the Middle East, but around the world. Having a son who's in the Middle East and who is in harm's way I take this very personally. There's always going to be a King Herod. There's always going to be a face of evil. There will always be a bloodthirsty tyrant who will stop at nothing, even slaughtering innocent children, to have his selfish way. But isn't there another way? Jesus said, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. But isn't there another way? Isaiah said, darkness will cover the earth, thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Let us rise and shine, and let us pray for peace on earth, and let us find another way. So James Taylor ended his song with these words. Well, it pleasures me to be here and to sing this song tonight. They tell me that life is a miracle, and I figured out that they're right. But Herod's always out there. He's got our cards on file. It's a lead pipe cinch. If we give an inch, old Herod likes to take a mile. It's best to go home by another way, home by another way. We've got this far to a lucky star, but tomorrow is another day. We can make it another way, safe home, as they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high, and let us go home another way.